You're listening to the Nachum Segal Network. We call this segment By the Book, brought to you by our friends at Curran Publishers in Jerusalem. There's a brand new one from Magid Books, Rabbi Beryl Wine. The title is Who Knows 12, Themes and Values in Treyasar. The books of the 12 prophets known as the Treyasar span hundreds of years, from the waning days of the Kingdom of Israel into the dawn of the Second Temple era. These prophets were of different walks of life, from noblemen to humble shepherds, and lived in various localities, but were united in their mission of conveying the Word of God to the nation. Rabbi Beryl Wine is, of course, the founder and director of the Destiny Foundation, known throughout the Jewish world as a foremost historian, received the Torah Prize Award from Machon Rav Frank in Jerusalem for his achievements in teaching Torah and spreading Judaism across the globe. He's a regular columnist in the Jerusalem Post and author of many, many books, many of them available from Magid Books, which is the imprint that Who Knows 12 appears on. Rabbi Wine lives in Jerusalem and joins us via telephone. Rabbi Wine, an honor to welcome you back to the Nachum Segal Network.
Thank you, Nachum. Pleasure.
Appreciate that. Why so little attention before your book in our community to the Treyasar?
Why so little attention generally to the study of Nevi'im in our schools and in our community? I don't know why. When the Nevi'im that are studied mostly are Nevi'im Rishonim.
Right.
When it comes to Nevi'im Achronim, maybe a smattering of Yeshayo and Yirmiyo, maybe sometimes Yechezkel, and Treyasar suffers from the fact that in English they call it the minor prophets, which is an insult. But in effect, if you know Treyasar, in my opinion, it's much more informative about our world than reading the New York Times.
Right. How did they get linked together? Why are the 12 known as the Treyasar?
Well, the Gemara says because they didn't want to get... they're short, and therefore, individually, perhaps the manuscript would get lost. It didn't have enough subs. Like you have the Novi Ovadia as one chapter.
Right.
But if you want to know about our current political world, that chapter says it all. So they didn't want it to get lost, so they lumped it together. Nansiknes and Agdola took the 12 and put them together in one book.
So because of the size and because of the time in history, because it came across, you know, much later, so for those two reasons, really, they're viewed as more minor when you say, of course, that they're
only minor in terms of, for instance, the book of Hosea, which is the first, the Talmud accords Hosea as being the greatest of the prophets of his time, even though he's a contemporary of Isaiah.
Right.
So every sefer has a mazel, even the sefer to swarm in the Torah. You know, there's not much interest in Eov either or Mishle.
Right, that's true. It's funny how history does that, right? You never know what's gonna end up being popular and what's going to be
tossed. That's right.
What's gonna be tossed aside.
There's a sophistication involved, and many times the general population somehow ignores what is very important to them. Yeah.
I mean, someone once pointed out to me that the biggest benefit Rashi had was placement, not to change the topic, but the fact that his commentary, as opposed to others, is found where it is, you know, made him a number one commentary.
Yeah, also... the year that he lived in, he lived before Ramban, he lived before the others, and the others all therefore quoted him,
right.
And that gave him the edge, so to speak. But the Ramban says about Rashi, lo mishpat abchora. Rashi has first dibs, and well-earned.
Rabbi Beryl Wine is with us. Who Knows 12 was the book, Themes and Values in Treyasar. It's brand new from Magid Books, a division of Koren Publishers, Jerusalem. You can go to the Koren Pub website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. You just alluded to Ovadia minutes ago, and I hope we'll have an opportunity in this segment to talk about some of the lessons that we could learn today from the prophets of yesteryear. What did you mean that current events can be studied and understood just from the one chapter of Avadya?
Well, the book of Avadya, for instance, has very little reference to the Jewish people. It has reference to the rest of the world, to empires, to Esav, to demagogues, to power, to what looks like it's going to win. And the book of Avadya points out to us how the God eventually mocks all of those people.
Yeah.
How God eventually, Esav rose to the top, and God said, I'll take him down.
Yeah, and we see that on a regular basis throughout the world right now.
We see that on a regular basis. Well, you know, in our time, for instance, you would remember it because you're more than 20 years old. But my grandchildren have no concept that, that the Soviet Union fell.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not. But us who lived through it, who lived through the Soviet Union and its persecution of Jews, etc., who could have imagined that that would have happened? And it happened. And the Novi said it would happen.
When you speak about God taking down the demagogues or those who don't really deserve to be in power, or that he, of course, decides who will eventually be in power, is that something to keep in mind as we watch the 2016 presidential election campaign as it continues to develop here in this country?
I live in Jerusalem.
But you have to be somewhat fascinated by some of the qualities.
Well, it's obvious that no one could have predicted such a situation. There's no question that no one could have predicted it 6 or 8 months ago. So, that's also, the world is quirky.
Yeah, the world is quirky, and we saw this with the last president who was elected.
That's right, so it's never what you think it is.
Right, that was also
the main message of the Torah, if I can say so,
sure,
is humility. Don't be so sure. Don't be so certain. You don't really know what's going on. And that's a very hard lesson to learn. Even in our own religious world, there are so many people who are certain. I lived a long time, thank God, and the longer I live, the less I know.
The book of Yonah is part of the Treyasar, maybe more well-known because of its placement in our liturgy on the most important day of the year. Is that also a lesson in humility?
And also, certainly, Yonah knows better than God. God wants him to go. He doesn't want to go. God is wrong. And at the end, God is a softie. He doesn't back him. And, the Lord gently reprimands him. Are you in charge? But the book of Yonah also is the great book of Jewish self-identity.
Right.
He's lying in the boat, and they're going to throw him off. They ask him, where do you come from? What do you do? Like they want to make a shidduch with him. And he says, I'm a Jew. There's nothing else to talk about. And that is the basic line throughout the period of Jewish history and in our time as well. Are you Jewish? Then we'll discuss what kind of Jew. But the first question is, are you Jewish? And in today's world, unfortunately, there are a lot of Jews that don't realize that they're Jewish.
Rabbi Beryl Wein is with us. Who Knows 12 is the book, Themes and Values in Treyasar. He's, of course, founder and director of the Destiny Foundation, known as one of the great historians of our time. Rabbi Wein, aside from humility, there's a list of other lessons and themes and topics of Treyasar that can be applied to contemporary life. I hope we can go through them, and maybe you can give us an example or two. One is national unity and the land of Israel. What would be a good example of what we learned from Treyasar for that one?
A good example is the fact that even when there were wicked kings, and the prophets spoke against them, they never spoke against the institution. Never spoke against the national entity. They valued it above everything else. And that ability to separate the actors from the institution is an important lesson, one which, again, unfortunately, in our time, could stand a lot of reinforcement.
That's somewhat Moses-like, right? Being frustrated with the Jewish people, but never giving up on the...
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what God tells them over and over in Treyosor. Every book of Treyosor ends on a note of hope. It's going to be better. They'll come back. I'll save them. They'll survive. It's all going to be better yet.
We're not
a very optimistic people, you know. We don't think it's going to be better.
But then, of course, God does what God does, and he makes good.
And he does it. I mean, the book of Treyosar points out to us that he does it on his own terms, not on our terms. So when you see Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the three last prophets at the beginning of the Second Temple who bring the Jewish people back, you know, the people who came back were not the greatest Jews. The greatest Jews stayed in Babylonia, and the temple is being rebuilt very shabbily and very slowly, and there's intermarriage, and there's all sorts of things going on, right? But they kept their eye on the ball.
Yeah. The national message was the one that was...
That's right.
Family and community are addressed in the book of Treyosar. What do you mean, family and community?
Well, the prophet saw the Jewish people as a family. Mishpachas b'nei Yaakov, it says, the family of Jacob. A family, we all know, you know, in family there are different types. Everybody's got an uncle, you know? But that's part of family, right? But family is what binds us together. And if you don't feel that familial bond, so then you end up being very lonely. And the same thing in an expanded sense is community, the tzibur, the entire community. So the community has to allow for different individuals. I mean, it's not the part of the problem is we always think that a community is conformity. That's not true.
How do you evaluate today's familial situation with the Jewish people?
We suffer from an overabundance of good times. So we think we can afford not to be part of the family. I don't have to deal with my cousins. It's good enough by me. I don't have to deal with different Jews. I don't have to deal with anybody. You know, God is taking care of me. And that's why we are... in Israel, it's much better than in my observations in the diaspora, because in Israel, because of the enmity that we face every day, so the sense of solidarity is stronger. Right. But let's say in the United States, you know, who needs you, right? I'm living in my four amos, and that's good enough. So what do I care what goes on in Sacramento?
Rabbi Beryl Wein is founder and director of the Destiny Foundation. He's written Who Knows 12, Themes and Values in Treyosar, brand new from Magid Books, a division of Koren Publishers in Jerusalem. You can go to the website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. You address and discuss betrayals and scandals in Treyosar. Of what variety?
Well, and the prime example is in the Navi Hoshea, who marries a woman who was unfaithful to him. And he can't divorce her because of the fact that somehow he's in love with her. So that's a difference of opinion in the Talmud, whether that's to be taken literally or not. But in any event, that's a metaphor that applies, you know, where there's a lot of betrayal in the Jewish world. A lot of betrayal.
And the ultimate one is the betrayal of God.
If you betray the Jewish people, eventually you betray God.
One has to go with the other.
That's right. So, and except for rabbis, there are no perfect people, so we don't have to worry about it.
Heroic behavior, you point out in Treyosar. What type of heroic behavior?
Well, heroic behavior is the ability to stand up. Hoshea stands up to the kings. Almost stands up to the kings. You know, they just don't accept evil and wrongdoing and say, well, you know, what can I do? Heroic behavior is be able to at one time accept the fact that there are differences, but at the same time to point out the error of many of those differences.
The background of the prophets, I would guess, might, or maybe you'll tell me, would not nonetheless, either change their message or alter the way they deliver their message. We know that some of these prophets, as we said in the introduction, were noblemen. Others were humble shepherds. Depending on their background and their way of life, is the message different or is it delivered differently?
It's certainly delivered differently. You have the classic example that the Talmud says is different between Isaiah and Yechezkel, that Isaiah is like somebody that's raised in Manhattan, so he's not impressed by skyscrapers, and Yechezkel is raised in a little town, and he is impressed by it, and therefore you have his description of heaven, which is far more elaborate than that of Yeshayahu. Well, the same thing is true in all of these prophets that were wealthy, saw the world differently than, for instance, Amos, who is a shepherd and who barely ekes out a living. It's interesting how God chooses different people from different strata to give his message in order to impress upon us that it's not a matter of class as it is a matter of faith and of worthiness.
And it's geography as well, not just background,
yes,
but
absolutely
in terms of where they lived and how they lived.
Where they live and who they spoke to, etc.
Right. Is there one among the minor prophets that's either most misunderstood or one where you said to yourself that that the message is...
Well, Zechariah is hard to understand because it has a lot of apocalyptic descriptions in it. So that makes it difficult. And as I mentioned, Hosea is also... if we were writing the book today and it were to be published in one of the Jewish Orthodox weeklies, the book would not be written.
Because it would be too what?
Because it would be too raw, it would be too explicit, it would be... it's an itch chain. It's not nice.
Right, it wouldn't be viewed as proper.
Right, but again, the Lord is not bound by our
by our publishing standards.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I think most of the Torah wouldn't be written today.
That could be actually. What about the role of the prophet? We know about certain prophets that were hesitant in their role. Is there a common theme among these 12 in terms of their reluctance or their willingness to deliver the message?
Yeah, there is. I use there's a great incident regarding Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and his student, Rabbi Yitzchok Blaser, Rabbi Yitzchok Lepeterberger, that in that time, in the 1860s, for the first time, Jews started to move to St. Petersburg, to the capital of Russia, where Jews were not allowed to live. But wealthy Jews got their way in there, and then there was a Jewish community. And they built a grand synagogue, and they needed a rabbi. And interestingly enough, they approached Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he should send them a rabbi. So Rabbi Yisrael said to his student, to Rabbi Isaac Blaser, he said, you should go and be the rabbi in St. Petersburg.
Right.
And Isaac said to him, Rabbi, how can I go? I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what will happen with me. Because it was assimilationist. It's like sending somebody to Waco, Texas.
Right.
And Yisrael said to him, whom shall I send? Someone who is not afraid? So that is the message in the prophets also. They're all afraid. But who shall God send? Those who are not afraid? He can only send those who are afraid.
Is that one of the qualities that goes through all the Nevi'im?
The Nevi'im. All of them. I mean, in Yonah, it's an extreme.
Right.
But it goes through all of them. It's an important lesson for us, too.
Yeah, but in that case, they're afraid for their own well-being, so to speak, their own spiritual well-being.
That's right.
They're not necessarily afraid of the mission They're not necessarily afraid to confront others, right? Not always.
Yeah, so that's the, you just pointed out the difference, right? You can be afraid of your own thing, but when it comes to teaching Torah or telling the truth or helping Jews, you should never be afraid.
Right. And they're able to adjust that way.
That's a thin line, but they're able to dance on it.
Right. Pretty amazing. Rabbi Beryl Wine, on the topic of the Treyasar, themes and values in Treyasar, Who Knows 12 was the name of the book. Magid book release from Koren Publishers, KorenPub.com. Who are today's prophets? And I'm not talking about. I know there's no prophet.
I want to tell you, Yenachem, I have a. In my old age, my eyesight is not what it was. So I have a dictating app on my computer.
Right.
And I talk to the computer, and it types it up. So whatever I say to Jewish prophets, it spells it P-R-O-F-I-T-S.
Yeah.
Who are today's prophets? I don't know today's prophets, but who are today's Jewish thinkers?
Well, who are the ones who today are delivering the same types of messages?
Well, the Lisser movement is gone.
Right.
And to a great extent, Hasidus has frozen itself.
Right.
So we suffer from a dearth in that. We suffer from a dearth of people who are able and willing to express themselves on topics that need to be addressed. But again, it's a time of zealotry in the Jewish world, so I understand why people are hesitant.
So it's a lacking in strong spiritual guidance. Is that how you would put it?
Yeah, because that's not what our schools teach. Our schools teach knowledge. They don't teach to be spiritual.
Right.
Knowledge alone is never enough. And that's part of the problem.
But you do.
We measure Torah by the number of pages we finish.
But you do see academic institutions, religious ones, who are trying to incorporate more Hasidus and more of that spiritual, you know.
Yeah, it's very necessary. There always are self-corrective mechanisms that occur in the Jewish world.
Right.
It takes time, and many times they go unrecognized, but they're always there, because otherwise we would not have been able to survive. What would our world look like without the yeshiva movement, without the Musar movement, without the chassidus of the 18th century? What would have, you know, because the old way it would have died.
Yeah, that's for sure. Rabbi Beryl Wine, he is founder and director of the Destiny Foundation. The book is called Who Knows 12, Themes and Values in Treyasar. The books of the 12 prophets known as the Treyasar span hundreds of years from the waning days of the Kingdom of Israel to the dawn of the Second Temple era. These prophets were of different walks of life, from noblemen to humble shepherds, and lived in various localities, but were united in their mission of conveying the word of God to the nation. Rabbi Wine's book is published by Magid Books, a division of Koren Publishers Jerusalem. It offers a new approach to Jewish text and themes from the world's leading rabbis, scholars, and philosophers. It's called Who Knows 12. Rabbi Wine, good luck with the book. I don't know what number book this is for you already, but I would just, maybe you've lost count at this point.
I haven't lost count, but it's more than 12.
That's for sure. Thank you so much. Best of luck with this, and a pleasure to speak to you
as
always.
Thank you, and you be well.
Greatly appreciated.
And we'll hear good news from each other. Kol Tov Sela.
Thank you so much. Brand new from Magid Books, division of Koren Publishers Jerusalem. It is the book by Rabbi Beryl Wine, Who Knows 12. Check it out. Themes and Values in Treyasar. Go to the website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. I thank you all for listening to this segment entitled By the Book here at the Nachum Segal Network. Our friends from Koren Publishers always giving us incredible and amazing authors to speak with. In this case, Rabbi Beryl Wine, the legend himself, on the topic of Treyasar. The book is entitled Who Knows 12. I thank you for listening to the Nachum Segal Network and this edition of Buy the Book, brought to you by Koren Publishers. ¶¶